Thank you. Thank you, worship team. Finding your way again. Finding my way again. In 2007, Carolyn and I, my wife Carolyn and I, our girls were 4 and 1, and I'd been in the East End of Glasgow, inner city, church there, Church of the Nazarene in Parkhead. And we'd been 10 years in leadership and ministry. We're doing a lot of work with poverty, injustice, the circle of injustice, violence, death, addiction, crime, all of those kind of things. And we're kind of in the heart of it. And after 10 years of that, we were utterly exhausted. Exhausted by what we saw, exhausted by the fact that it really seemed to change, exhausted because we'd given everything we possibly could, exhausted because we were disappointed, we were disillusioned. In all honesty, we were disappointed not just with people, we were disappointed with God and disillusioned about why things had not worked out the way we thought we would. And so we decided that we needed to take a year out. And so we disappeared off to a little tiny town in Kentucky called Wilmore. And I took a year out. The girls came out with me. Because we needed to find our way again in life. And this year ended up being what we would call an in-between time. We were coming out of something and we weren't sure what we were going into. But in this in-between time, we needed God more than ever before. And that in-between time for us, although at times difficult and painful, ended up being a time of healing and renewal as God met with us and as he did something new within us. It was like everything had been stripped from our lives and we had to just get back to God again. And somehow in doing so, restoration and healing came to us again. We needed to find our way again. And in that in-between time, it felt shaky, uncertain, even anxious at times. And it took that year for God to help us find our way again. And it turned out to be the most significant year of our lives. Now, that's my own personal story and journey. However, in today's world, my head sometimes feels like this. I don't know about you, but I kind of feel that there's so much shifting and changing and uncertain and shaky about the way the world is. Sometimes this is how my head feels with all the stuff that is going on. Trying desperately to make connections together with things to try and bring about a little stability or certainty about everything. I don't imagine that I'm the only one. Yeah, we're having to deal with wars, some closer than we thought we'd ever see in our lifetimes. Political changes, uncertainty globally in global politics, polarization. Everyone wants to take one extreme over another extreme. Our society feels fractured, a divided world. Divided society. Social media and the media, where do we even begin with all that goes on in the online world and in the media world? It's confusing, it can be conflicting, it can be polarizing, it can even be weaponized. Weaponized against individuals, weaponized against people and people groups, beliefs. It can say anything at once. It doesn't have to be the truth as long as you say it confidently enough or with enough passion. What do we take from all of that? Or what about previously trusted institutions that are shaking, maybe even untrusted now? Traditional societal systems and structures, strongholds that now seem to be stretched to breaking point. We feel like we're in a bit of a crisis. There's economic crisis, there's health crisis, political crisis, care systems crisis, all of it all seems to be under pressure. If they sit and think, why did I come to church this morning? I'm depressed enough without him telling me all about the things that are in crisis. But it's articulating realities that we face today. NHS under pressure, social work, media, morality, the church. It's not been a great week for the church. Let's just be honest. Feels like things are being shaken. And that's before we get to the environment. Environmental change, climate change, the disagreements about that, the contradictions, the concerns, the arguments. The legacy of the pandemic. The next generation of children, young people, young adults trying to work out how do we recover from that. Actually, we're all working out how do we recover from that. And then the mental health pandemic crisis. Sometimes my head feels like this. In the midst of it all. There's a guy called Mark Sayers, and he wrote this. When it feels like everything's shaking and shifting and changing, what's it changing to? He says, gray zones exist in the overlap of two eras. They contain the influence of both the passing and former era. This makes gray zones confusing and contradictory. We're coming out of one way of living. We're heading towards another, but we're actually in an in-between stage. We're not quite sure what that future is going to look like. And so it creates within us an uncertainty about things. It's confusing and contradictory. And when people are in that, whether individually or collectively as a society or as communities, when we're in that, you can feel like we're in a sense of wilderness or lostness, almost like a desert. What is this going to look like? The in-between era. I know what that's been like personally for me, and I feel like, as many do, this feels like where we are, even globally, not just in our own country. A changing and a complex world. And because of that, it creates social anxiety. Not just personal anxiety, but there's kind of an anxiety that hangs over our society and our culture. And when we're in the midst of these kind of things, whether it be personal, collective, national, international, too often and for too long, we look in the wrong directions to find our way in all of this. You know, into a time such as this, 2,000 years ago, when human and societal shifting was taking place in the first century, Jesus spoke these words from John 14. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Then Thomas said, you know that phrase, doubting Thomas? This is where it comes from. This Thomas. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? That is a great question. How can we know the way in these in-between times? How are we going to navigate our way through what feels like shaky collective anxiety at times? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, the Creator, the Almighty God. No one comes back to the one who knows all things, who is bringing everything back to its fullest restoration. No one comes to him except through me. What a great question. How can we know the way through the kind of world that we live in? Jesus says, I'm the way back again. I'm the way back home. I'm the way back to God, the one who knows us, who sees us, who loves us, who made us. I'll bring you back to him. That's the center point. That's unshakable. In the midst of all the other shaky stuff, that's the place of solidity. The God who sees us and knows us and loves us and made us and is with us and longs for us to know that. I am the way, Jesus says. Do we need to find our way again in these shaky times? Jesus says, I'm the way. The way back home. The way back to the Creator. The way back to solidity. Then he said, I'm the truth. When we were working in the East End of Glasgow, we just started a new church called Recovery Church. It was for people, well, we called it Recovery Church. Everyone's recovering from something, because that's the reality. All of us are recovering from something in our lives. And a lot of people who came to that were part of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, Cocaine Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous, all kinds of groups that we had in our church, are hosted in our church. What was really interesting is the reason we started it is a lot of the folk, and we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago in our congregation, a lot of the folk who were going to the anonymous meetings were finding their way and working out. They talked about a higher power or a God of my own understanding as they were trying to work out how they would live this new sober life or clean life. The problem was trying to come up with a God of your own understanding ends up sounding like you, because you've got to make it up. And so a lot of them are saying, what is this God? Who is this God? And so we were very specific. We said, we want to name who our God is. His name is Jesus. It's the truth. Rather than trying to come up with a truth about who God might be off my own back, Jesus was saying, I am the truth. And what happened was, as those folks began to realize that a God of your own understanding or a higher power of some point was almost like sand through your hands, they were really looking for something far more solid and stable. And what happened? They discovered it in Jesus. And suddenly, the higher power, the God of their own understanding, began to make sense as they looked at the life of Jesus. The thing is, most people can get Jesus. They're not always so sure of the church, but they can get Jesus. Why? Because he's the way and he's the truth. And Jesus is saying, if you want to know the truth about God, let me show you. And so the people who are going through baptism this morning, they're going through it because they've experienced and they know that Jesus is the way. It's led them into a new way of life. They know it's the truth. That's why they're being baptized and saying, man, this is true. This Jesus has changed who I am. And then lastly, the life, the way, the truth, and the life. I don't know if I'm allowed to confess this or not in front of my congregation, but I quite like Robbie Williams. I like his music. He's an entertainer. But you know what I really like about him? I like his honesty about stuff. I read his autobiography, or his biography, Reveal, a number of years ago, and I was prompted by the truth of it all in terms of him trying to wrestle what's the truth about his life. And then there's a documentary about it as well. He wrote a song, and the song is called Feel. And here are some of the words from that song as he reflected honestly on life. Come and hold my hand. I want to contact the living. It's all about life. Not sure I understand this role I've been given. I sit and talk to God. He just laughs at my plans. My head speaks a language I don't understand. And then this honest longing. I just want to feel real love. Fill the home that I live in. Because I've got too much life running through my veins, going to waste. I just want to feel real love in a life ever after. And then these lines here. There's a hole in my soul. You can see it in my face. It's a real big place. Man, that's an honest commentary on life for so many people. An honest confession. And what those who are being baptized today are doing is that they're giving public witness and testimony to a new life in Jesus. That, well, at one point they said, there's a hole in my soul. You can see it in my face. It's a real big place. They've discovered that Jesus is not just the way, the truth, but he's also the life. And that they will give testimony to that publicly in their baptism today. Life, like a new spiritual birth or resurrection that Jesus brings within us. Instead of the emptiness of life or the hole in the soul or the longing for something more than this, Jesus answers that when he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to come home back to the Father, you got to come by me. And that's what they're giving testimony to this morning as we baptize them together. So I want to ask as we finish, what are we facing or carrying today that's heavy or confusing or despairing or that in-between thing that's like a gray zone for us, dark, shadowy, maybe even shameful, a lostness, a hole in your soul? Jesus says, listen, don't let your hearts be troubled. You trust in God, trust also in me, for I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's how you come to the Father. You know, the motion of baptism today will be, they'll be in the pool, and we will put them back into the water so that they're completely submerged as a sign of Jesus' death and their death to an old life. And then we'll raise them back up into the water again as if to announce resurrection. It's like all the stuff of the old life has been buried in Jesus as they go down into the water. It's very symbolic. That motion of baptism mirrors the cross and then the resurrection. Jesus, who takes the heaviness, the confusing, the despair, the brokenness, the darkness, the shadowy, even shameful parts of our life. It's all buried in the grave in Christ. And then he's raised to life again, leaving all of that in the grave. That's what Jesus does within us. And so in baptism this morning, we're going to replicate that. We're going to mirror that because that's the testimony of those who are being baptized today. The old stuff is gone, and I've been raised into a new life. What a gift. What a hope. What a celebration. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And some people are running to him to find their way home again. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you so much for the life of faith, for the life we have in Jesus. Lord, in truth, there's many of us are trying to find our way just now. So much that is happening around us, maybe even in our own lives, that creates its own confusion, uncertainty, even our sense of collective anxiety. Lord, we need to hear the words again. Peace, 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 says Jesus. Find it in me, the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus.